B-Pod Studios.
What the f*** was that finish?
Mike, I'm confused. I have never seen... So I'll start... Let me start clearly here.
Yeah, no, please.
Roman Reigns beats Demon Finn Balor because the top rope broke.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor is the tiny guy, as Bruce Pritchard would say. He might be a buck 65, and he can stand up on the top rope and it can just break. Like, that's it. Like, the stress of Finn Balor being on the top rope has broken the rope. Like, that's the kind of hocus pocus bullshit that we're doing now. Fabulous match, fabulous show, fabulous main event. Finn Balor's about to win. He gets up on the top rope to do the coup de grace, which is a move he just did on the other turnbuckle.
Yep.
And it just right out from underneath him. Like, this is what we're doing. This is the creative that we've come up with to beat the Demon Finn Balor. When Samoa Joe beat the Demon Balor on NXT, it was a top rope muscle buster. Mm-hmm. That's how the Demon was beat the first time. We've got to do this hocus pocus crap to bust the top rope.
Yep.
If the story is that one of the Usos went to the other side of the ring, unwinded the top turnbuckle, and then Balor got up there and did that, okay, no problem. I understand the logic of it. Lights are out, Demon Mist is going on, and all of a sudden the rope just collapses. The Usos were down. Paul Heyman was in camera shot, so it wasn't him doing it. It just broke. That's how we go off the air is. And I'm not, like, I didn't expect Demon Finn Balor to win, but I expected a better finish than that. Like, I would have been okay with a chokeout. Finn Balor wasn't going to win this match. They just, I think that they didn't need the hocus pocus. Like, I'm not even mad at the ending sequence where it's, don't worry, Mike, I'm going to let you talk. I'm just letting it
no,
all.
No, I'm listening. Taking notes too.
Like, I don't even mind that. Like, Roman hits the spear through the ring announcer bay, knocks out the barricade, and everybody's down. The Usos are down because Balor put the Usos out after the Usos broke up the pinfall attempt on the first coup de grace. Don't even mind that. Like, everybody's down. They play the Finn Balor heartbeat, the music, everything. He gets up. He destroys Roman, puts him in a post, chair shots, puts him through a table, rolls him in the ring, gets up to the top rope, and 165-pound Finn Balor. The tiny guy, as Bruce Pritchard would say. And I keep going to that point because Bruce is on the creative team. Yep. He has, on his podcast, called him the tiny guy. So you're telling me that throughout the entire evening of people going to the top rope, including Finn Balor, mere moments before, that didn't break it. But this time, the Demon Balor at 165, soaking wet, just goodbye top rope. A wonderful show, Mike Riley. Really wonderful action-packed Extreme Rules. And just what I would call a bad finish. But it's sports entertainment. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and you know what? Unfortunately, you talk about the good show right here, and unfortunately, Jimmy, you're always going to remember how it finished, and that was a terrible finish. And, you know, going into this, if someone can please come forward that did predict Finn Balor to win, please do, because I don't think anyone did. But for me, being invested as a fan, thinking that there was a little bit of possibility here that, okay, wait a minute, we actually may see a title change here when the heartbeat comes, the lights go out. It's a believable situation where he's going up there for the coup de grace after those weasels, the Usos get beaten down on the outside there, chance to come away with the title. And then, of course, the rope, it doesn't make sense. It was a terrible, terrible ending. And I think it goes back to the whole picture here, Jimmy. Obviously, it is just their way, there being WWE, to protect Roman Reigns. It's okay to take the title off of him, Vince. It's okay. You can take it off him. You can give it to someone else. Go right ahead. That would have been a cool ending right there, and it would have opened a lot of eyes to that particular ending, but you freaking squashed it. You had a damn good match, and you threw it away. And someone even tweeted at us a little while ago, too, Extreme Rules being the theme of the pay-per-view. Yeah, this was the only Extreme Rules match. I get it, but they dropped the ball on this. It was a good match, and the way it ended there, pathetic. I hated it. It makes me leave this show with a sour taste in my mouth. Furious. Almost, so almost like the Hell in the Cell 2 years ago ending. Seth Rollins.
No, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, borderline.
So who is the Tribal Chief's higher power, Mike Riley?
I don't think he has one. He is the higher power.
Like, if Ole Anderson can raise the cage at Capital Combat 1990 in a Ric Flair Lex Luger match, like, yeah, who can magically make the top rope snap?
That's a fair question. So you got to think, who paid him off? Who did he pay off, rather?
Well, so who else has magical powers, Mike Riley?
I'm blanking.
Alexa Bliss?
Yeah,
Lily?
See, I think
Bray Wyatt? Yeah, Undertaker?
I was going to say, yeah, you can't say Wyatt. He's out. Taker's retired. The Alexa Bliss is the only logical one, but I see her going to Raw after tonight. I really do.
Or is it just like, let's do this finish, pal. Let's just get through tonight.
Yeah, this was a bridge show, I think, to
So, Mike, I don't think that there are bridge shows anymore, and here's why I think that.
To Crown
the
Jewel?
So I think that if you're going to talk, the shows that really matter, Mike, now are dome shows. Rumble, WrestleMania, Money in the Bank, going to be in a dome.
Yeah.
SummerSlam, Survivor Series is at Barclays, but I think Survivor Series is a show that matters.
Big market.
I think right now, just over the past few weeks, the WWE is just throwing everything at every show. On Monday night, you saw them open with Roman, mm-hmm, close with Roman, open with Big E, close with Big E. Like, I just think that that's what we're going to see now. And they already announced for Raw that the opening to Raw is Big E defending the WWE title against Bobby Lashley in a rematch.
Right.
So this whole, we're building shows for pay-per-views. Well, it goes back to the business side of things. It's $1 billion for Raw, $1 billion for SmackDown, $1 billion for the Peacock Network.
Yeah.
So that's why it kind of, like, there was no WWE Championship match tonight. They opened with a fabulous six-man tag where Big E, the WWE champion, was in there. We'll get to more of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that this was going to be a newsworthy show going into it, and we'll get to the return in a second here.
Yeah.
But WWE put on a really good Extreme Rules show, and that main event was a banger of a match. The ending, I just hated. I hated because I don't think there's going to be a payoff to it.
No.
And I think that is my biggest issue with this, is it's just like, oh, well, let's just beat the demon. This is what we've come up with. When you don't need to do something like that to do it. Now, maybe there is a payoff, and I don't see it yet. But I don't know who else has hocus pocus magic powers to just break the ring.
Yeah, I mean, right now, there's no logical answer, I think, for a current superstar. My point on the bridge show, Jimmy, just the crown jewel. Roman and Brock Lesnar at Crown Jewel. That's what the prince wants. He doesn't want Finn Balor and Brock Lesnar. He wants Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. So that's why I'm saying this was a bridge show right there. But you're not going to have no payoff. That was just a one and done. One and done. And you know what? Essentially, you've now kind of destroyed the demon. That's done.
No, I don't think you've destroyed the demon. I think that they protected Balor. They protected Balor in the match on SmackDown because so much Uso interference. He was injured before the match. It's a chokeout, right? Like,
yeah,
everybody's choked out. Roman's choked out just about everybody, right? So now you're in a position where the demon's about to win twice, and Roman pulls it out of nowhere, right? The top rope break. I think I'll go back and watch it. Maybe I won't. But if there was something during the match that would have loosened a rope,
yeah,
and maybe I missed it, I will allow for the fact that I missed it, then okay, I got it. But I don't recall anything during the course of that match that would make me think, oh, the top rope is gonna fall apart. I don't remember it.
No, you get two. And listen, Roman Reigns, he's not, you talk about that. Finn Balor, the little guy. Roman Reigns is not a super heavyweight. I can't see that. This was all a plan the whole time. And the fact that it happened right before 11 p.m. Eastern time, this was all a fix.
Well, Mike, can I break down the fourth wall for you?
Go ahead.
Sports entertainment, pro wrestling is fixed.
It's
predetermined.
Before
they go out to the ring, they know the finish. They know what's going to happen.
Can you tell me now, is there a Tooth Fairy 2? You can spoil it. It's okay.
I'll find out in a few years.
All right. How about Santa Claus?
We may have kids
listening. Yeah, we may have kids listening. Okay, we'll talk about that off the air. Yeah, okay, sounds good.
So, yeah, that really strong main event, really strong show. And I just, but you know what, Mike? Here's what it comes down to.
Yep.
They got me.
And same here. I was all in on this match.
No, Mike, they got me. They got me to react emotionally.
Good. And that's what they wanted, right?
So you know what, Mike? They win. I just cussed a few times and spent 12 minutes complaining about the finish of a match, and we're not quite at the 20 minutes of Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, Hell in a Cell from however many years ago. Seth Rollins talks about on the Stone Cold Session interview that he did, that is really good and is worth your time. This show, Extreme Rules, Mike Riley, is worth your time.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through the main event. It was a good match. It's worth your time. The finish elicited that emotion. So hot start to the podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Yeah. Probably the biggest news story to come out of this is the return of Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks ran in at the end of the Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch SmackDown Women's Championship match. Belair was going for the KOD on Becky Lynch. Sasha Banks comes into the ring, beats them both up. There was a fun moment where after Sasha beats up Belair, Becky Lynch gives Sasha kind of like a thumbs up, mm-hmm, and then Sasha Banks goes to town on Becky Lynch. As Sasha Banks is leaving, she says, "I'll see you two on SmackDown." So Sasha Banks is back. She's been cleared. She's been ready to go since SummerSlam. As I said in our SummerSlam recap, she was ready to go. She just wasn't anywhere near Las Vegas, and WWE creative kept her in the dark. So here's the big comeback. She's going to go into a program, we assume, against Belair and Becky Lynch. Maybe they do a three-way match at SmackDown, and then they move Banks wherever they're going to move her, or they keep her there. This was a good match, and Becky Lynch looks really good in the ring, because I feel like sometimes she's hit or miss with her in-ring work. I thought she was really good here, but I was confused as to what Becky was. Becky walks in with white gear, and the WWE mass produces signs. So all those signs that you see in The Man or EST, yep, or Bailey or whatever the sign is,
mm-hmm,
those are all mass produced. They're all left on the seat.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of them. So WWE sending Becky out in white gear, the sign of a good of a protagonist.
Yep.
And the signs in the background means that WWE is telling you that you should cheer her. But the way that she acts in the ring, she's a villain. So again, Mike, I'm confused. Am I allowed to cheer Becky Lynch? Should I boo Becky Lynch because it's the show? Like, what am I supposed to do as a fan?
Well, I think going into the match, before Sasha Banks interfered, yes, Becky Lynch
was a villain.
She's a villain, yes. However, though, once Sasha comes in, Becky becomes a face. And that's because Sasha Banks goes right after Bianca Belair, costs her the match. Obviously, Bianca Belair is not going to be a heel. Let's just make that clear. To your point with the signs of Becky Lynch right there and the costume with the white and everything, I think it's a clear indication that WWE already has enough villains as it is. And it might be time to change that up a little bit. So I think the overall picture here, the big picture, is Sasha and Becky Lynch will feud on SmackDown. And I thought going into this match before it was even Sasha comes in interfere, Bianca Belair goes to Raw. And I think she becomes the face to challenge Charlotte. So the clear picture from what I'm getting out of it, Becky face, maybe not this SmackDown, but after this upcoming week, she'll be the face, and then Bianca's out of there to Raw, and then Sasha is your overall top heel on SmackDown right there. But you know what? This was that came out of nowhere. Sasha Banks. I mean, that was really cool.
It was great. Great surprise.
Yeah. Wonderful. It was awesome. It's great. Yeah. And it makes things really enticing here as we come up to the draft this week on SmackDown, which will then carry over to Raw the following Monday.
Becky and Belair had a really good match. Probably my biggest observations from the actual match work were the actual in-ring component of the matches. Belair's selling of her facial expressions, like I can feel through the camera when she's joyful, and I can feel when she's in distress, where she is emotionally upset that she didn't get a near fall or something. Mostly that she didn't get a near fall. I thought that she's got all these authentic emotions, or it feels like authentic emotions because it's pro wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. But I can feel it coming through the camera. I can feel it in the arena, more in the camera, I should say, because I don't think I've seen Belair actually work a live match. But you get my point. I can feel the emotion that Belair has. The other thing is she has this insane level of strength that helps so much with these transition in matches. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's part of the reason why Joe Murray says that she's the best pure WWE babyface.
Yeah. And you know what? I have a hard time disagreeing with that. I really can't think of another one. I think he's right on there.
I know back after the Royal Rumble, Charlotte did a few interviews and she mentioned how, I think this one was on The Bump or one of WWE's programming, about how Charlotte would be excited to have a program with Bianca Belair. And
there you go.
With the fact that Belair loses the SmackDown women's title, Becky's back, Charlotte's going to need opponents. It makes sense for something post Survivor Series.
Because, right.
I mean, we've got an October pay-per-view.
Yep.
I don't think that they would rush Charlotte and Belair, but weirder things have happened.
Yeah.
You know, Alexa Bliss tonight became a victim of the Charlotte versus everybody tour. In what I thought was a good match. I thought it was a really good match. It was about a 12-minute match or so. Mm-hmm. The finish came when Charlotte Flair threw Lily at Alexa Bliss, hit a boot, natural selection, 1, 2, 3, match is over. This match was really good, and I expected it to be really good. I love both. I love the gear. The first thing I noticed when they both came out was Charlotte's Venom-inspired gear and Alexa Bliss's gear just playing to her character just so well.
Yep.
Moonsault into moonsault, of course, was the shout-out to Andrade, Charlotte Flair's fiancé. Mm-hmm. Bliss early on rolled out of a natural selection. There was a good series of near falls. I always am fascinated when Alexa Bliss can do the sunset bomb on a taller person, and that's what she did to Charlotte Flair during this match. The Twisted Bliss missed. The figure four turned into an inside cradle. The figure four into an inside cradle always almost gets me for a near fall, because Sting won the world title over Ric Flair at the Great American Bash in 1990, amongst other inside cradle finishes. The post-match thing was Charlotte rips up Lily, and then Bliss is all upset and disgruntled about it. The crowd chanted, "Thank you, Lily."
Alexa's hometown. You know that, right?
Alexa Bliss gets beat in her home state.
Yep, hometown.
Is this the end of this Alexa Bliss character? Is kind of the walkaway take for me, because they ripped up Lily. She was upset about it. The what's the antacid tablet? Not antacid. The foaming tablet.
Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer, caught plain as day on camera. If you're into the hocus pocus stuff, even more of it, right? Blatant to that point. Mm-hmm. But is this the end of this Alexa Bliss character? We assume she's going to SmackDown now.
Yeah,
but who knows? Good match, Mike. What do you think?
Yeah, it certainly looks that way, that Alexa Bliss going to SmackDown. Maybe she'll go back to her original character before she teamed up with the Fiend, if you will, on those sort of, you know, kind of hocus pocus sort of things. I thought of a little girl 2 weeks ago at Raw that was in the front row with us. She had a Lily doll right there after Charlotte ripped it. And my heart went for that little girl there. I'm like, oh man, she's probably really upset right now. But you know what? That's just how it is. And, you know, a good matcher, like you talk about, Jimmy, some of those details, the twisted, well, she did miss it. Alexa missed a Twisted Bliss and then got a DDT. But Charlotte did get her foot on the rope. So, you know, just easy way for her to come away and able to get a win on this right here. And I thought that if Alexa Bliss were to have won this match, then you see Charlotte maneuver to SmackDown. But I don't think that's going to be the case, as you just talk about. So Charlotte is going to be on Raw, and Alexa Bliss, most indications are that she'll go to SmackDown. And yeah, with the doll being put to rest, it's only a matter of time before she gets a revamp for a character, because she's had this for over a year now, I'd say, right? Since the Fiend?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, it's time for a change.
You know, and I know that, like, it's the Raw Women's Champion and the SmackDown Women's Champion, but
yeah,
the draft last year, I think they flipped the tag team titles, and it was literally just New Day and the Street Profits just handing each other the respective tag team titles. No match, no transfer. Let's just hand each other the belts because they were drafted to the opposite show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm annoyed.
No, I remember that.
Here's the thing, Mike, is that, like, the show was really good, and I can't stress that enough. I was just really annoyed by that finish. Mm-hmm. And now, like, I'm thinking about the draft, and I'm like, yeah, they're just going to hand the titles over because they don't want to have another match, because it's easy. Like, because, well, pal, you don't care about the details. I don't know. Like, I kind of would like something, like, at least, like, I think there was 1 year where the U.S. title was on Jinder Mahal. It went to Randy Orton. It went to Jeff Hardy. And it, like, switched on two draft shows. Yep. So it started on Raw, went to SmackDown, and then went from SmackDown back to Raw or something like that. Something super confusing. But it ended up back on the same show, I think.
Okay.
Or did I just make that up?
That was like 2018, I want to say. Mahal, Jeff Hardy, Seth Rollins, I think, was in that little run as well. I think that sounds right.
But I think I thought of this because you sent out a tweet being like, Damian Priest is gonna flip brands, or they're gonna flip the U.S. title and the IC title.
So I think he'll go right to SmackDown, and then the easy answer is to put Nakamura on Raw, because Nakamura, as you know, was not on the card tonight. So you don't have to have that title change hands. No titles change hands tonight. Nothing. So, again, clear indication because of a draft coming up here. So that's a quick flip right there. Damian Priest to SmackDown, who again, I still really believe in this guy here. And I think that's a good way to continue to showcase his capability to be on a Friday night program, SmackDown, which has become the flagship program of WWE. So that's a great opportunity for him right there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Damian Priest retains his United States Championship over Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. Damian Priest pinned Sheamus. This match was a little bit slow in building for me, but I think the moment of the match was when Jeff Hardy hit a Swanton bomb while Priest was trying to pin Sheamus. And I think the action really picked up from there. And I get into it more because I'm like, oh, does Jeff Hardy have a chance here?
Yes. And you know what, Jimmy, to your interview with Jeff Hardy a couple of weeks ago, him talking about his dream match with Roman Reigns for the Universal title, that's got me thinking that he's going to go right to SmackDown and you may get a feud with Roman Reigns and Jeff Hardy in the next couple of months.
So what makes sense to me is if Jeff Hardy, like I don't think that these wrestlers say things by accident. I think there are times where somebody will say something to somebody just to F with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jeff Hardy saying that to me and then that quote going everywhere, including Paul Heyman quote tweeting the video of Jeff Hardy saying that he wanted a match with Roman Reigns and he wants a shot at the Universal Championship.
Yep.
That may have already been talked about or it's been pitched somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes sense to me is TLC in December.
Absolutely.
Yep. Right? Like, you're done with Survivor Series. Jeff Hardy is now on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to have Jeff Hardy face Roman at Extreme Rules, tables, ladders, and chairs, Roman beating Jeff Hardy doesn't hurt Jeff Hardy. And with Jeff Hardy, there's always that hope shot, right?
And he can work a TLC match, no problem.
So, yes, you do the TLC match again with Roman.
Yep.
Against Jeff. And I mean, Sheamus once beat Roman Reigns in a TLC match. So Roman could be beaten, not this version of Roman Reigns, obviously.
Different world.
But it's also like the crowd still loves Jeff Hardy. I still love Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, he's in. Yeah.
Because he's still got it in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
People love him. And there's always that element of danger. I don't know if that's the right word, is danger, but it's also the element of surprise.
Yeah.
But when you saw a few weeks ago the outrage of why is Jeff Hardy chasing the 24/7 title, it means people still care.
Right.
And that's the important thing in wrestling.
They care. And you know, folks, even go back to as far as almost 20 years ago, July 2002, his Monday Night Raw match with The Undertaker, ladder match. And again, he almost had him. And it just an excitement situation right there. So he always has that capability to do that, Jeff Hardy. And to really, we know how WWE is building up Roman Reigns right here. It would be a whole good scenario for Reigns to continue his domination, but a great spot for Jeff Hardy as well.
Jim Ross screaming, "Make yourself famous, kid," is an all-timer line. It's an all-timer line as Jeff Hardy is climbing the ladder, trying to beat The Undertaker, only for The Undertaker's death grip to choke slam Jeff Hardy off that ladder.
July 1st, 2002, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Of all the places, New Hampshire. And I got nothing against New Hampshire. Live free or die.
Well, you don't like Hartford. You're not a Hartford guy. Or Worcester.
It's Worcester.
It's Worcester. Okay, my bad. Okay, yeah.
And Connecticut is whatever.
Yeah, fair enough.
So the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the Usos retain over the Street Profits. Finish saw a double team Uso splash on an injured Montez Ford. I thought Montez Ford was the absolute star of this match. He sold his ass off. He sold the rib injury from SmackDown on Friday night like one of the great all-time sellers of all time. Like it's just those little details of like, hey, there's an injury here. Yep. And Montez Ford acted like he was injured. Like, what a novel concept. He hits the big splash from the top rope late in the match and can't make the pin because the ribs are hurt. And the Usos targeted the ribs throughout the match. I thought the pace and the action of the match was strong. I thought the pace and the action of the show all night long was strong. Yep. So no exception here. Usos and Street Profits, excellent match, excellent in-ring storytelling, Mike Riley.
Yeah, there you go. Have a shot right there. And you know what? I think that this was this was the only title on the card, I thought, along with the U.S. title, that had the best chance of changing hands. Here's another thing, too. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's only inevitable until tag teams do break up. I wouldn't be shocked if the Street Profits do break up sooner than later. I know. I'm just saying, Montez Ford, ready to go. He's ready to go on a singles level. And the Street Profits have been a good draw. I think it's a good tag team and just good for the whole tag team division in general. So, you know, maybe wait it out a little bit, but I could totally see that happening sooner than later. The way, yeah, you're not a fan of that.
Let's break up another tag team. Hey, let's turn one of them into a bad guy. Let's swerve them all, bro.
I can see it a mile away.
The Street Profits are likable. They're over. Can I cheer for them both, please? I just want to cheer for them both.
Street Profits.
I like tag team wrestling. I don't need every 6 months a tag team breaking up just because, oh, well, the storyline and Vince doesn't like the idea or some, you know, smarky fan gets the right writer to read his tweet one day.
And may I go back to what I said? It's inevitable tag teams breaking up. It's inevitable when WWE tag teams break up. AEW, they've been pretty consistent, as we know.
Tell me you want to break up the New Day, Mike. Just do it.
No.
Tell me you want to break up. Anyhow, you want to break up the Usos too?
Absolutely not. Well, actually, I'm okay if the Usos go away. I'm so mad at them as a fan right now.
Continue.
Yeah, I don't like how I want to have a possible change. They always interfere. I mean, it was an Extreme Rules match tonight with the Demon, and I know they got the best of the Demon outside there, but they're always interfering for the cousin Roman Reigns, the fan of me. It's storyline stuff. I get it, but I don't care if they break up, and I would love to see one of them, Jay or Jimmy, go against each other and then have Jay or Jimmy feud against Roman Reigns. I would love that one-on-one match.
So Eddie McCabe from the New Age Insiders a few months ago was like, the story that WWE is telling you that Jay Uso is going to be the one to beat Roman Reigns, but they won't do it.
Yeah. You know, I could see a match. I don't know if he'd beat him though,
but that's the story that they're telling you.
Hmm. Interesting take.
The right-hand man who got baptized into being
last
at the side of Roman Reigns. Like that's the story that they're telling you is Roman treats the Usos like crap.
Yep.
So eventually the Usos are going to turn on Roman and beat him for the Universal title. Like that's the story. Right. But that won't happen because the Usos aren't viewed as in the level of Roman Reigns. That win's going to go to somebody else. I did like how Extreme Rules started out with tag team action, and the opening match was a six-man tag team that was a real banger of a match. And again, the action, the pace, and it was New Day versus Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, and Omos. Big E pins Bobby Lashley after the big ending, and in the course of this match, there was a few spots of Big E versus AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got excited for it. I really got excited for the idea that Big E and AJ Styles can have a WWE championship program.
That'd be awesome.
Because AJ hasn't been in the singles WWE championship picture in a while. Mm-hmm. He's been in that intercontinental level. He's been more recently a tag team with Omos. But AJ Styles getting another run at the WWE Championship and against Big E, I kind of like it. I'm kind of salivating at the idea of it.
It's a great situation for Big E right there. I mean, he's got talking about AJ Styles, the experience as a champion, he's been a pretty good villain too, for that matter. So it'd be a good feud for him to start to try to defend his WWE championship. I think that's an easy layup right there. But what I got out of it though was Bobby Lashley turned on AJ Styles in as his tag team partner here. So maybe that'll be a feud to come, and Omos would, I don't know, do something to maybe turn on AJ and join with Lashley.
So I think Lashley was put in this match because it was against New Day and mm-hmm. Big E's the champion. I think Lashley didn't care who he was teaming it with. He just wanted to get his hands on New Day. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be the backstory for him being in this match. Lashley has lost a lot recently, which makes me think he's going to SmackDown.
Yeah.
And it just kind of makes me feel like Lashley versus Roman might be a future program.
Hmm.
Well, or they're going to do Lashley and Goldberg on a SmackDown instead of at the Saudi show or something else. Because Goldberg is still kind of hanging over all of this because of the ref stoppage at SummerSlam. Yes. So you've got to pay off Lashley and Goldberg at some point.
Lashley Goldberg, and then also there's that possibility of maybe Big E Goldberg, as he's talked about.
Yep.
Right? You know,
because Big E has always wanted to fight Goldberg in a match.
Exactly.
So now you could have Goldberg beat Lashley and not be for a title, and give Goldberg a threat of beating Big E.
Yep.
To the groans of everybody who's listening to my voice.
Right. And now the other thing too, I know he was not on the card here. Drew McIntyre, I could totally see him going to SmackDown.
I think he's going to SmackDown too.
Yeah. So,
because there's a matchup with Roman there. And I still think with The Rock telling WWE he's not going to be wrestling at WrestleMania, at least that's been the more recent reporting.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre might be the opponent in Dallas for Roman Reigns.
He could be the guy to beat him too.
If you're going to have Roman go down, I would think it would be Dallas, the football stadium, 100,000 fans. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Again, I don't know that McIntyre is the guy. I don't know that they have the guy.
Yeah.
And maybe like there are people who are like, oh, they shouldn't have put the title on Big E. They should have had Big E cash in on Roman.
I mean,
I was in that camp. But yes, maybe what the story that WWE is telling is Big E won the WWE title. He can hang with Roman. He's just hanging as the big dog on Raw, as the top guy on Raw, until something happens and he gets screwed out of the WWE title. Then Big E wins the Rumble, wins an Elimination Chamber match to get a crack at Roman Reigns on SmackDown. Something of that story. And then you get Big E versus Roman in Dallas at WrestleMania, and then Big E wins.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, go ahead. You've already seen Big E as the WWE champion on Raw and winning the title in Boston however many months ago, but now it's 100,000 people, everybody's into it, and that's the finish. That's the grand end to Roman Reigns as the tribal chief.
And maybe, I mean, I don't see it happening, but my ultimate dream would to unify the title, unify one champion. That's it. That'd be right there.
There's an argument to be made, Mike, to end the brand split.
Yeah, why not? You know, but I don't think it's going to happen, though.
And the brand split is in place because TV shows want separate rosters.
Right. And that's...
But if nobody's getting over, what's the point? If the only guy who's going to get over is Roman Reigns and Big E and like nobody else, then what's the point?
And for Roman, so I think what WWE has to do here now, while we do have a crowd back, crowds returned, Roman did his part while they were in the Thunderdome and, you know, without a crowd and everything. You talk about that, people to get over, the crowd's the one that's going to do the, you know, decisions there of who's going to get over. So really, why not? Give it a chance, right?
Well, if AEW is if they've already started putting Roman on Raw,
mm-hmm.
then build to WrestleMania and do WrestleMania two nights, which I actually think is in play. And we're putting all the titles together so that when we go to the Raw after WrestleMania, there's one guy, he's holding two titles, and it's going to become one title. So you're back to merging the WWE title and the Universal title. You're back to merging the US Championship and the Intercontinental Championship. You have one set of tag team champions, and everybody works Monday and Friday.
Yeah. But then that, now just to go against my own argument here, it just goes back to the whole thing, like you mentioned, with television wanting to showcase their own guys, but also you're not going to have, you're going to expect the champions to be on all the time, and you're not able to showcase other guys there, just run out of television time.
The other problem, Mike, is you're going to overexpose talent again.
Yeah. So,
but if you tell the compelling stories, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And this is the problem, is what's the balance, Mike? What's the balance of short-term moments versus long-term storytelling?
It's a great question.
And there is a balance there. Mm-hmm. I think of WCW. They have the NWO with Hogan, this unstoppable villain. Yep. But at the same time, you have Goldberg kind of coming up the ranks. And then when the time is right, Goldberg beats Hogan at Atlanta. Mm-hmm. In the Georgia Dome where Bill Goldberg played football, where he's from.
Yeah.
All that. So they can if they could keep certain people apart and just like slowly build them subtly, you can do this stuff. But I don't know that I think they do, and I think the old man being Vince, I think he's like, we just need to do something tonight. We need to create a moment. We need to create a headline. We need to create a buzz.
Yeah. It's creature habit. He does things his way.
And he's made the company a global company. So,
yeah.
But you know, he's not perfect. Everybody
oh, yeah.
Throws a meatball over the plate and it gets hit out. That's all I have for Extreme Rules. Good show, really strong show. Finish that got me super emotional. Because I don't think that there's going to be a payoff to it. Maybe there is, maybe there will be. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, and you know what? Now the next pay-per-view coming up is going to be Saudi Arabia, and we know that Brock Lesnar is going to be on that card. He wasn't a part of Extreme Rules. Drew McIntyre, not a part of Extreme Rules. Just a couple of the big-name guys right there. So the draft coming up, it's a lot of indications of some moving pieces from Raw to SmackDown, SmackDown to Raw, and then, of course, a build-up here for Brock Lesnar over the next couple of weeks before the Saudi Arabia show, too.
Bravo, WWE, you put on a good show. You got an emotional reaction from somebody who enjoys wrestling, who loves wrestling, and you've done your job. So you've done your job. Bravo. Bravo, WWE. Raw, WWE Championship, 8 o'clock, Big E versus Lashley to open up the show.
Open the show. Look at that.
Yeah, open the show. It's like they took an idea from Wednesday night with opening with a main event match in, say, Kenny Omega against Bryan Danielson.
Yep.
And opening the show with that.
Fabulous match.
Just one quick note from that.
Yeah.
When Omega and Danielson have their second match, whenever they have it, that'll be my match of the year.
Wow. That's a hot take. So did you hear, I heard your little take, your individual one. Did you hear mine too?
I may have made fun of it.
Oh, I don't care, but so you heard it.
Match
of the year. That went way over my head.
I'm trying to.
Sorry, James. It's, that went way over my head.
I'm trying.
Now, that's cute. That's cute. Did you hear what I said, though, with the Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega when they do fight again?
I don't recall it, but remind me in the list.
I think that Bryan Danielson will be the guy to take the title off Kenny Omega.
I don't totally disagree with that. I should say this. I won't push back on that take. Mm-hmm. I still think it should be Adam Page.
That would be awesome too.
But if you're going to capitalize on Danielson being here,
mm-hmm.
then why not put the title on him at Full Gear in Minneapolis? You can always switch it back to Omega when you need to.
Exactly.
Because if they have a second match, it's got to be for the title. And Danielson's got to win, I think.
Yeah, especially after going the 30-minute. Good prediction by you, James. Very good on that 30-minute time limit there. And I want more.
That was the point. The only way – look, they could do the Okada series with Kenny Omega, and that is
– yeah.
You've done a 30-minute draw. Now you're going to do it for the title, which is a 60-minute time limit draw. And that's how you get – but that's how you get out of that one, is now you have two matches between the two guys, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, no winner. So the next match has to be a no time limit match.
Correct.
And then you do the finish in 32 minutes or whatever.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
But the point is, Mike, is that while you were watching it,
yep.
did you feel like, wow, we're 30 minutes into the match?
No, because I was just so glued to it. It's one of those things where you got to put your phone down. You just have to focus on it, and you're just part of the crowd right there. And I felt like it was a 15-minute bout, I'd say. Did you feel that too?
That's so as somebody who's settled in and feels like they're going to be in for a long match,
yep.
I didn't feel like when Shivani and Ross were like, oh, they got to worry about the time limit. I'm like, time limit, of course.
Oh, yep.
I wasn't even thinking of the time limit. That's how good the match was.
So good. Exactly. And you know what? I would have been a little disappointed if that, I mean, I'm okay with the ending, but if it did end the show on the time limit there, I'd be a little disappointed. So I'm glad it opened the show like that. Hot I think crowd.
That's positioning. That's the positioning. And AEW did a really nice job of covering the boos of the crowd for that finish by having Cole and the Young Bucks super kick Danielson right in the face, because yep. then they can be like, oh, they're booing us because we just kicked Danielson in the face.
Absolutely.
It was sneaky nice cover, in the same way WWE having that crap finish, or the finish did protects Becky and Bianca Belair, but right. having Sasha Banks run in for the DQ to protect Becky in the title.
Yep.
So yep, there are these little tricks that it's pro wrestling, right?
It works.
Shouldn't
absolutely
get so worked up about it, but
yeah.
AEW, they asked, man. They asked us to do a podcast, so that's what we do.
No, but AEW right and now. Yeah, absolutely. And AEW right now is, oh, it's been really good. I think people should really not, if you're not watching already, you're missing out.
Yeah. The AEW has put together a really good product. They're on their way. They just got to figure out their business plan if they can make a profit. And once they figure that out, if they're not already doing that, then they'll be fine.
Absolutely.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.